Now this morning, and by the way, if you get an email, I said to you in the email, I want to talk to you today about a setup to sin. That was what your email said. This morning, Dottie and I were having some breakfast, and she said to me, or asked me, she said, "What is your Tuesday Bible lunch title today?" And I said, "Glad you asked. Title, A Setup to Sin." And she said, "That is not a good title." I said, "What's wrong with it?" She said, "It's too preachy." She said, "If I were there and somebody was going to talk about that," she said, "that sounds like what you'd say if you were talking to a bunch of other preachers. You need to get it in street language." Well, it really kind of offended me, if you want to know the truth. I was right proud of my title, A Setup to Sin. Sound like a good title to me. But anyway, when I got down to the church and went to my study, I thought, you know, she may be right. I need to change this title. So I'm now giving it the new title, A Setup to Mess Up. Now, that's street talk, isn't it? You know, people don't like to hear about sin. I mean, I think many think sin is the invention of the Baptist church. But let me say to you non-Baptists, that sin is all in the Bible. We Baptists didn't invent sin, thankfully, but we do sin, and so do you. And really, as I thought about what Dottie said, the fact is sin is a mess up. That's what sin is. You know, my definition of sin that I use for little boys and girls, I say that sin is anything we do, say, or think that makes God unhappy. Now, that's a boy-girl definition. I understand that. But God has a standard, and when we don't measure up to that standard, and none of us do all the time, we fall short of that standard. The Bible has a word for it, and that word is sin, S-I-N. It just means we've missed measuring up to the standard of God. But it is a mess up. But now let me say this. My title that she's had me change it to, It's not 100% accurate, because we can mess up and it not be a sin. I mean, a lot of times we just mess up. It's not necessarily a sin. We just messed up. But many times, perhaps most of the time. But anyway, I finally landed on this title. Now, we're in Numbers chapter 20. And what is so fascinating about this chapter, in this chapter, we read about the greatest mistake that Moses ever made. It was a terrible, terrible mistake. And if you look with me on page 140, in verse 7, the Lord spoke to Moses, said to him, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock." You've heard me deal this, you've memorized this verse by now. "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation of their animals." So Moses took the rod. That's what God told him to do. And then here's what Moses did. They gathered the people together in verse 10. And then here it comes. He struck the rock twice. Now God told him to speak to the rock. Well, he didn't speak to the rock. He struck it twice. He lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with the rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. So I think it's the greatest mistake he ever made. It was a very costly mistake. It kept him from being actually able to take the children of God into the promised land. And of course, we read about that later in the Bible. But let me say this, it's not the only mistake he ever made. Moses made some other bad mistakes, like in Exodus chapter 2. You remember the story where he went out one day and saw an Egyptian beating up one of his Hebrews. And he went out and killed the Egyptian, buried him in the sand, and he looked this way and that way to see if I was looking. Well, when he found out someone had seen him, he fled to Midian, where he stayed for 40 years. Well, that was a bad mistake. And then I was thinking about Moses and his mistakes this morning. I guess, another one of his great mistakes, not his worst mistake. But one day he became so discouraged. We read about it in the book of book of Numbers in chapter 11. We'll not turn back. But he became so discouraged that he actually asked God to kill him. He just was so sick and tired of hearing the people grumble and mumble and complain. And he said, God, you know, this thing's just more than I can handle. I wish you'd take my life from me. Well, that's a mistake. But here is his greatest mistake. Now, you know an interesting thing about Moses. Listen carefully. Other than Jesus, and I think this statement is correct. It's correct as best as my numbers go. Except for Jesus, no one in the Bible performed more miracles than Moses. I thought about that during last week when I was working on this last week. And I made a little list. Now, by miracles, I mean manifestations of divine power. Now, Jesus obviously performed more miracles than anybody. But Moses, in the Bible, recorded like the plagues of Egypt. He had the Red Sea part when he did what God told him to do. And they walked across on dry land. He had water made sweet. He had quail sent, manna supplied, water from the rock at Rephidim, and then water here as we read today. Moses' face, we read about one time, shone. The glory of the Lord came down on his face. The Bible said he talked face to face with God. That's a miracle. Miriam's leprosy, his sister's leprosy, sent and then removed. That's another miracle. Korah and all of his rebels were swallowed up by the earth. That'd be a good Tuesday Bible lunch. Well, it would be. I probably won't do it. It'd make you concerned. But anyway, people healed by the brazen serpent. He guided the Hebrew people for 40 years through the wilderness. And then I'll tell you another miracle. I won't give him credit for it, but he did experience a miracle. The Bible tells us, I love this verse. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 7. It says, at his death, he was 120 years of age when he died, and the Bible said, he had good eyesight. And then the Bible said he was as strong as ever. Now, he didn't perform that miracle. God performed that miracle on him. But I'm saying to you, this guy Moses, you talk about a special person. God had so many good things to say about Moses. But when we come to chapter 20, all these things we've read about Moses and heard about Moses, when we come to chapter 20, here's the deal. He makes the greatest blunder of his life, and it cost him dearly. The one thing I believe that he wanted to do in his life more than any other thing, I don't know this, but I believe this, I think it would be right, was to actually take the children of God into the promised land. And I say that, can you just imagine 40 years? They left Egypt. They're out there 40 years, what all was involved in that. And in that whole time, he probably just visualized there will be a day that I finally lead God's children into the promised land. And it never did happen. It never did happen. Now, I say all that to say this. Why? You know, I mean, what happened here? Well, you know, that'd be a lot of speculation, but I'm going to deal with some facts from Scripture. I think one of the things that set him up to mess up was a broken heart. And if you look with me in verse number 1, it says, then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month of the people stayed at Kadesh. And Miriam, now that's his sister, Miriam died there and was buried there. You know, when I read that and I think, now, you know, I mean, these are real people. And obviously, they were very, very close. These siblings, Miriam and Aaron, Moses, very, very close. And now here's his sister. She's died. She's dead. And they buried her. And as with any of us, when we have a family member that dies, we have a broken heart. I mean, that we're human beings. And I think there's a great lesson here for all of us is, you know, a broken heart is a setup to mess up. It really is. You know, if someone has a broken heart, They're not their best at that point. This is one reason I encourage people. When they've lost a mate, I say, look, if you can, don't make major decisions quickly. Let some time go by. And, they said, Pastor, how long? I said, well, if you can, maybe a year or whatever. But don't just start making major decisions when you have a broken heart, because when you have a broken heart, you're not your best. And whatever it might be that would give you a broken heart, I'm just saying to you, you understand, when you have a broken heart, it may be a broken relationship, it could be a score of things. You're not at your best. You're just a setup for a mess up, and the devil knows it. And the devil finds us at our weakest and attacks, and we just need to have our guard up. I'll tell you another reason. I think Moses was set up to mess up because he was dealing with a crisis. If you look in verse 2, it says there was no water for the people. So they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Water was their greatest physical need during these 40 years. They're out in the desert. You have to have water for the people. You have to have water for all these animals. He had a crisis, and it is always a setup for a mess up. Now, the fact of the matter is, most all of us in this room, life's not all a crisis. I mean, there are just so many crises in life. Like a family member's death, that'd be a crisis. The death of a child, that'd be a crisis. Perhaps the loss of a job, that'd be a crisis. A financial crisis, health crisis. But I mean, you just think about this afternoon, how many things are a crisis? Sometimes we begin to think everything in my life is a crisis. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, you may have this problem, that problem, and yonder. But there are these things that you'd have to say, I'd have to put that in the crisis column. And when we do that, we are very vulnerable. And I want to encourage you, if you're in your life, you're in one of those seasons, and it's a crisis season, perhaps maybe a bad report came back from the doctor. This week's a very special week for Dottie and for me and John and Joel. Thursday is May. By the way, can you believe this is the end of April? Man, have y'all noticed how quickly time is going? I used to hear people that say, when you get old, the time just flies. Well, when I get old, I'm going to check into that, but it seems like it's going along pretty good here. But Thursday is May 2nd. It was May 2nd, and it was on a Thursday, 5 years ago, when Dottie, we were down having a routine. She was 2 tests made, and they called me back there where she was to tell me that she had lymphoma. And I'm telling you, it was like the rug. We had no idea. And we left there. I think you've heard me tell a story. We wound up going to this little hamburger place that we kind of liked downtown. We weren't really very hungry for hamburger. We weren't hungry for anything. But we just kind of went there out of shock. Thursday, we're going right back to that hamburger place and celebrate God's goodness. She said, well, thank you. She wanted to go somewhere like Brennan's or something. Like I said, no. We want to go back where we were 5 years ago when we couldn't even make our hamburger swallow. And I said, in fact, I may order me 2 hamburgers in my celebration. But I'll tell you what, there's not probably anybody here that in your days, in your life, at this point, to this point, you've not had some crisis in your life. And I'm saying to you that Thursday afternoon, I was in no condition to make any kind of major decision. I was in shell shock, thinking, what in the world is ahead for us? Had no idea. Well, God takes care of us. And you got a story you could tell where God's done the very same for you. Well, I'll tell you another thing that I think messed Moses up, set him up for a mess up. The people turned against him. In fact, back here in verse 2, it says Moses, his brother and sister turned against him. Then all the people turned against him, verses 3, 4, and 5. They said, look, you brought us out here, back in Egypt, we had this and this and this and this. Now we're out here, we're going to starve to death, have no water. We don't have the food we had back there. They're all, these people are just all turned against Moses. Now listen. You know, this old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I don't know who originated that, but that statement is about the farthest thing from the truth you can ever hear. I'd sometimes rather be hit by a rock than some things that people can say. But here's the bottom line of this. Well, you might say, well, nobody's ever turned against me or said anything bad about me. You need to see me at the end of this thing. I got a doctor you need to go see. There's nobody here that down through the way hadn't. But anybody that is a leader, they're just going to have some people against them. That's just how it is. The inevitable mark of leadership is criticism. You know, you think about the President of the United States. If President Biden's reelected, half the country's against him. If Trump gets reelected, half the country's against him. And I mean, like, there would be rare that a president of the United States would have an approval rating of, say, 60%. They think 30 or 40 is pretty good. Leadership, it was matter, you know. Now, I learned this in my first church, my first little church. It was a little small country church, and outside they had this big old propane gas tank, and that thing's what heated the little worship center. And we had a thermostat on the wall. And what I didn't know was, long before I got there, there was a man who had self-appointed himself as God over the thermostat. Now, everybody knew it but me. No one could touch the thermostat but that man. Well, I'd only been there a few weeks, and I thought temperature wasn't right, and I went over one morning and moved that thermostat. And he later asked, who moved the thermostat? And they said, well, the new pastor. You know, that man never liked me for 3 years. He never got over it. I never did touch the thermostat again. I learned my lesson. In my Tennessee church, a man turned against me because the church didn't elect him a deacon. I never could relate how he blamed me for that. But he never spoke to me ever after he didn't get reelected as a deacon. And I'll say this, they did rise not making him a deacon. In my Sulphur Springs church, I was thinking about, well, there was one man there that turned against me. Now, that relationship got restored because I didn't do something he wanted, and he just couldn't get over it. He just couldn't get over it. Now, later on, that thing got restored. He was a friend before I went, and he was a friend later. In fact, every year he called me on my birthday. And then, of course, here, there was a small group that turned against me about the relocation of the church. They were very vocal, but they were there. And I'm just saying that, you know, when you have people that are turning against you and saying things about you and accusing you of this and yon, you know, I realize it's just part of the job, but I am saying this, you have to be careful, else you'll just make a bad decision. You say, now what bad decision could you have ever made in that? I left the church. I could have just said, you know, I got this little group of crazies, and, you know, they just tell it half of the truth of everything and no truth of the other, and I'm just going to go somewhere else. Well, that'd been a bad decision. I mean, but when you go through these things, if you're not careful, you'll make some bad decisions. And then I'll tell you what else. I think Moses messed up because I think he had a weary soul. I do think he had a weary soul. He had been on what should have been an 11-day trip that took 40 years because of the people's disobedience and complaining. And I just think he'd kind of wear a guy out trying to lead a bunch of complainers for 40 years that accused you, blamed God, and said we'd like it better back like it was and what God's done for us now. And then I begin to think about old Moses. I think, you know, I believe anybody would have had a weary soul going through what he went through. As you read the story, you have all these nations attacking him, the people complaining. You have Miriam and Aaron one day, his brother and sister, trying to usurp his authority. They said, who's this Moses think he is? I mean, God can speak to us as well as God can speak to him. And they kind of just turned on him. Well, that gave him a weary soul. And then the 10 spies, you know, the 10 of the 12 spies, 10 wanted to stone Moses to death and kill him. Well, when you have a weary soul, and sometimes we all have a weary soul, we are set up for a mess up. And I want to encourage you, when you have a weary soul, sometimes we all get a weary soul. We just, our old soul just kind of gets tired out, wearied out. Well, you just need to know something. Satan knows that. Think about Jesus. When did Satan tempt Jesus? He had been out in the desert 40 days and 40 nights, and there he was fasting. He was hungry. He was thirsty. And what did Satan do? Satan attacked. What did Jesus do? You know that story. Jesus responded back 3 times and said, same thing. It is written. It is written. It is written. Now here is where I think we learn a great lesson about this whole thing. It's why I devoted a whole Tuesday Bible lunch to it. When you feel the weakest, whatever it may be, a crisis, bad report, people, just life, whatever it is, when you feel weakest, you need to understand, you find your strength the same place Jesus found his strength. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. I want to encourage you, have you some go-to verses memorized so when you need them, you'll have them. One of my life verses, Psalm 16:8, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him in my right hand, I'll not be shaken. So, like, I have just 4 or 5 go-to verses. And when I just get kind of with a weary soul or whatever it might be, and I just know I'm a set up for a mess up, I just tell you the smartest thing I can do is go to the Word of God and read it and apply it and trust it. And I'll tell you what, it just works miracles. And Father, that to me is the great lesson of this whole thing. God, sometimes all of us are set up to a mess up. May not be our fault. It may be our fault. Either way, it doesn't really matter. Satan knows it. And Satan will use those times to cause us to mess up. So Lord, help us just be on guard and admit to ourselves, I'm not at my best right now. So today I need to be extra careful. And I need to find my strength from the Word of God. I thank you, God, that when the Bible speaks, God speaks. And may he speak to us every time we need a special word. In Jesus' name, amen.